Hi, this is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com. It is, as I'm recording, Monday, May 22nd, but I don't think I'm actually going to publish this. I'm getting ready to take a bunch of time off, take it easy this summer, so I'm preparing some content in advance. No idea when I'm actually going to send this out, but it doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter what the date on it is. This is a reading of the post Exercising Neurodynamically. Neurodynamic stretching, also known as neural mobilization and neurodynamics, is a technical type of stretching, a loose collection of experimental stretching and positioning treatments for neuropathy, based on the idea that unhappy nerve tissue can be cheered up. Although it's a bit obscure, it is an interesting idea that's been around for a long time. I wrote a review of neurodynamics for the first time in 2021, and reader Brendan T pointed out that I'd missed a key point about why one would try to stretch nerves. It's not so much about freeing nerves from adhesions, which might not exist anyway, and more sensibly, just about the value of stimulation. Motion is lotion. I agreed. This post is my very belated clarification. I think that Brendan pointed that idea out well over a year ago now, and maybe even longer by the time I actually publish this. Better late than never is it's my motto lately. Almost everything I publish feels like it's better late than never these days. Let's start with some story time. Self-serve neurodynamic stretching to the rescue. Posts that start with anecdotes get 78.23% better engagement. Source, my ass. 20 years publishing experience in this business, common sense, and knowledge of human nature. We like stories a lot. Even though we all know that we're not supposed to take them too seriously, right? But we love them. So here's a wee yarn about a reader's success treating sciatica by quite possibly pulling her sciatic nerve free from the wall of its sheath, as you do. After years of minor back pain, she had a rapid escalation into full-blown sciatica over the course of a couple of days. Her instinct was to stretch, maybe wise, maybe lucky. Experimenting rather freely, she deliberately tried to stretch in the way that most clearly exacerbated her symptoms, which takes some guts and obviously isn't necessarily safe. And the kind of thing that I wouldn't dare to actually recommend, because if someone did this on my recommendation on my website or this newsletter, and got hurt, yeah, lawsuits. Several minutes into her experimentation, she experienced a painful surge and then complete and lasting relief. Happy ending. She wrote to me, "The impression of a ripping sensation was so vivid that I felt like I almost heard it, even though it probably wasn't audible. The pain was 90% gone instantly. All the throbbing leg pain that had been driving me nuts and keeping me awake for 2 days was just gone. There was still a little deep burn left, but I think it was like how the site of a bad sliver is still tender after the sliver is out. I slept fine, and by the next morning, there simply wasn't any pain left." Now, that might be a story about actually physically freeing a nerve. It could be. And I want to point out that in the article, there's a citation to a scientific paper from, what is it, 1880, I think. Let me just check that. Is it 1880? Yeah, 1880. So talk about an old citation. It's a doctor from 1880 talking about exactly this and the plausibility of the mechanism, and sharing his own story about that happening with a patient. That's Bramwell, James Patton Bramwell in 1880. So his that citation isn't really, any more compelling than my anecdote, but interesting that there's a similar story written down in an old medical journal. So, a humbler goal. Maybe it's just nerve exercise. Rather than breaking icky, sticky, nasty adhesions, maybe the point, the main point, not the only point, but maybe the main point of neural tensioning is just to pull on nerves without optimizing for glide of the nerve within its sheath to break adhesions. It's just a way of stimulating or exercising nerves, which is in turn widely regarded as a good thing. And maybe it is, and maybe it's good enough, and that's all that some professionals ever intended. Not everyone agrees that the purpose of neurodynamic stretching is to rip free nerves from possibly imaginary adhesions or entrapments. Everything in physiology seems to thrive on just right levels of stimulation. Motion is lotion, and exercise is the closest thing we have to a miracle cure, and so on. Tissue stagnancy might drive dysfunction and neuropathy, essentially an exaggeration of feeling increasingly uncomfortable if we are still for too long. So, do nerves need their own exercise? This exercisey justification for nerve stretching is probably on firmer ground than it's the entrapment stupid, but it's still far from a slam dunk. I don't think that anyone doubts that physical stimulation is good for nerves in some sense, but do we have to specifically stretch nerves to achieve it? Is it clinically important to do that? It could be. Not everything in biology functions or heals well solely with the stimulation of normal activities. A simple example, deliberately washing a wound is dramatically better at preventing infection than just letting nature take its course. Simple mechanical flushing can be extremely powerful. On the other hand, many medical interventions and crutches that supposedly facilitate healing have turned out to be surprisingly useless or even harmful. What actually assists the body is rarely obvious. And I'll give one example here in the audio. I didn't bother to get into it in the written post, but let's just speculate a little bit. I think probably one of the all-time great examples of a medical intervention, you know, that is intended to facilitate healing but probably does not actually, is lots and lots of surgical fixations and implants for fractures, some types more than others. There's clearly a role for fixations with some fractures, others not so much. And you know, my big example in my life is my wife's horrible car accident in 2010 with a major burst fracture of her 12th thoracic vertebrae. And I looked into the science on that extensively in the year after that happened, and learned that it's basically impossible to stabilize the spine. You know, that even amazingly shattered spines do fine without fixations, and the attempt to stabilize with titanium can pretty easily backfire. And another closely related example, and quite notorious and shockingly recent, is that a lot of hip replacements, knee replacements, a lot of surgical implants for joint replacements have been highly problematic. And you can blame that on the materials that were used. There have been some horrible scandals with using materials that turned out to be, you know, they seemed like a good idea at the time, but they turned out to be, you know, basically toxic. So, you know, you could argue that if it wasn't for the materials problem, it wouldn't have been an issue. But it was an issue. And it seems like in a lot of cases, things go poorly for lots of different reasons. Lots of joint replacements don't go well. So it's hard to help the body heal. That was the point of all of this this digression, that many medical interventions that supposedly facilitate healing don't or have weird problems. So therefore, it's not clear that we actually need to go out of our way to exercise nerves, to stimulate nerves specifically as opposed to other tissues. Maybe we do, but there's a very legitimate question about whether or not they actually need that help, or whether it makes more sense to, you know, just exercise a bunch in general. Science to the rescue? As usual, not really. Rigorous study is, of course, the only way we're ever really going to know if specifically stretching nerves is truly helpful, as opposed to, say, something else specific like stretching blood vessels or something general like just doing some calisthenics. So do we have that? Do we have the rigorous study? No, we never do. A 2022 paper, nicely recent, reviewed just 8 studies of neural mobilization for back pain. That's Peacock et al. In 2022. And 6 had results in the technically positive category, but definitely nothing impressive. So this idea of, you know, that nerves need their workouts, and their workouts mostly consist of pulling on them, this is, it's good fuel for wishful thinking for now, and that is about it. Okay, that is the post. Talk to you next time, whenever the heck that is. I don't even know when this time is.